own this thing. It's ours. Come on, let's go. Duval County and 904, let's own this stadium. Make it ours.
Welcome to the Urban Meyer Show.
Urban Meyer Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Lagerman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Urban Meyer Show starts right now.
Welcome in. It is the Urban Meyer Show. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Urban Meyer not with us tonight. Here's why. With the Thanksgiving holiday coming up, we had some schedule changes. Coach Meyer and the staff made some changes there. They're practicing today. So we taped our conversation with Urban yesterday to run today. Unfortunately, we had technical issues and lost the recording. Yes, it's true. So we'll hear from Urban a good bit in this first half hour from his Monday press conference about everything from the San Francisco game. Our apologies for that. But, hey, let's look back at the San Francisco game. A bad start. They had a deep hole. They couldn't climb out of it. A 20-play, 87-yard, 13-minute-plus drive for San Fran opened the game. A three and out after, offensive issues, no rhythm on that side of the ball, and head coach Urban Meyer, of course, Monday on the struggle, not only Sunday, but the last month, plus the defense stepping up for the most part.
It's been more than that. It's been 4 weeks, actually, ever since I thought Miami, there was a lot of promise, a lot of good things being done. Before that, I saw steady improvement, and you're correct. You know, I think when James got, you know, if you remember right, he had two big runs in the Seattle game and he comes out. So I don't want to put it all on him because he's obviously a very valuable member. But whenever someone goes down, someone else has to pick up that flag and go harder. And we're not getting that right now. And so, I think whenever things aren't, you know, on defense, I commend our staff. I met with our staff many times and we adapted to our personnel and we're playing better. You know, even yesterday, you know, had three sacks on that first drive, I believe, and two of them were negated because of penalty offside and a hold. But I like the way our defense, you know, when you say you give up that many points, you know, to me that was when you have a 20-play drive, you hold them to 3 points and had three sacks in that drive and you're extended by penalties. I consider that a win. But then 30 seconds later, the defense is back on the field. And then 30 seconds again later, they're back because of a fumble. So everybody's got to hold up their end of the bargain.
That's head coach Urban Meyer yesterday in his Monday press conference. Jeff Lagerman joining us now. Good afternoon to you, Logs.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't get Urban in person today, but...
It was my fault. I pushed the wrong button.
It's unfortunate, but we're going to make the best of it today.
Yeah.
We're going to hear back a little bit from what Urban had to say on Monday. His press conference today, by the way, was so late in the day, we couldn't even really turn that one around to get it ready for the show today.
Well, I mean, look, we did talk to Urban yesterday, and here's the kind of just general impression. I thought we recorded three great segments with Thanksgiving week, obviously having a little bit of a challenge from a schedule standpoint. And when he left that press conference, he was a little hot. Okay.
There was a lot of negative things to discuss.
He's a little hot, okay, and rightly so. I mean, look, I mean, he's the head coach of a football team that's not playing well right now. And then he got to us and, you know, took a little bit of a deep breath and, you know, he calmed down. And I thought he was very insightful.
I mean, that's usually what people say about us, Logs. We're calming and soothing. We are.
Not really.
No? Okay, maybe not.
No. Well, I mean, look, I give him credit because, look, it's when you commit so much to something and it's not working, it's frustrating. And when you get, you know, the repeated questions and sometimes you feel like I've answered this before and it's, you know, isn't it obvious? Do you really need to ask the question? I mean, sometimes it probably gets a little bit annoying. But, I mean, that's just like Pete Carroll this week. Pete Carroll actually walked away from a microphone.
That's right.
And had to spend 30 minutes away, and then he comes back to talk to the media. Urban hasn't done anything like that. I mean,
he stands there and takes it.
He stood up in front of the questions, and he stood up in front of, you know, the television camera and the microphone to do a show with us yesterday. And unfortunately, I pushed the wrong button and deleted the recording, so I apologize for that. And sometimes it happens. But I thought he was very forthcoming. And that the one thing that he said to us, he said, look, everything is under evaluation.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And that's the right answer. You know, so I don't know what's going to change this week. I don't. Because he didn't give us that or those specifics. But I can tell you from the tone and from his comment that everything is being looked at.
Yeah.
There's going to be something different this week. I don't know what. And maybe I'm wrong. But did you get that impression?
Well, when he used the term full audit.
That was the term.
That's, guess what? There's a full audit going on. Whatever whatever you want that definition to be. They're taking a look at everything. It's week 12, though. That's the unfortunate part of this thing, that it has to happen this deep into a season.
Right. And that's what you
that's
know,
where
you
the
like.
Frustration comes from.
Oh, look, the New York Giants just underwent some change today. Reports are that they have fired their offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett. I'm not saying that something like that's going to happen, but I'm saying is that, look, when you're not playing well, there's change coming. That's how it works in this league. And they want – look, nobody wants to get it fixed better than the head coach or Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator. I mean, look, they're working their tails off. They work hard. People work hard to try to make this football team and this offense better and to get it to take steps. And for whatever reason, sometimes that doesn't happen and it gets to be frustrating. And the one thing I think that you got to make sure that you do as a coach is that you just can't let the frustration lead to anything that is irrational. You have to be logical and methodical in some of your decision-making process and your evaluation. You got to take the emotion out of it.
There's obviously so much pressure week to week in this league.
That's how it works.
That's how it is.
Why they?
That was in the brochure, by the way.
Yeah, that's why they get paid the big bucks.
No doubt.
In coaching. I mean, those guys. No doubt. They, and when they sign up for coaching, they understand that with it comes criticism. And with it comes with the possibility that you may be looking for a job next year and that the entire staff may end up not being here next year. I mean, that's how it works in the National Football League. I mean, that's the pressure cooker that it can become. And I think a lot of times with coaches, you know, all that, and they're great at it, that they block all that noise out. The noise that we make noise and fans make noise and talk radio makes noise. They do a great job. They've got blinders on, and they go to work. I mean, that's what they do.
Some do.
They go to work.
Some do. Some will listen to some of that.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I mean, that's some have rabbit ears, but it doesn't feel like this.
And if you got rabbit ears, you don't have much of a chance.
No.
But there are some.
It never stops.
Yeah, you're very right on that.
Hey, we'll come back plenty ahead. We'll hear from Urban again yesterday on – possible maybe lineup changes. They're talking about some of that stuff.
I don't know.
As part of the full audit, we'll hear from him on Jamal Agnew's injury, why they couldn't get a target for Dan Arnold last week. That's all ahead, and we're off and running. It's the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back. Jaguars Game Day broadcast.
Great question, John, and that's one that I pose to our staff constantly, also to the players. And there's no simple solution. You know, competition is the greatest motivator of all. And if we feel like, you know, there is that available, then, you know, that's a great motivator. And I don't want to get too specific because it's not my position to throw anybody under the bus, but we have to play better. If not, you have to make a change.
My apologies, Urban. That's, of course, head coach Urban Meyer. This is the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, as we mentioned earlier, with the Thanksgiving holiday coming up, there were some schedule changes in the building this week. We taped our conversation with Urban yesterday to run today, but lost the recording. Technical issues here in the building. So our apologies for not having Urban with us today, but we'll hear plenty from his Monday press conference about everything from the San Francisco game. He did speak again this afternoon. It was so late in the day, we couldn't turn it around for this show today. You can check it out on Jaguars.com or Jag social media to see the latest on what he had to say, but plenty of things to discuss, of course. Let's continue on the offensive side. And, you know, Jamal.
Before you do that.
Yes,
now,
Jeff.
What we just saw, the comment that he made.
Big.
I mean, that's what you want. I mean, players understand that that's how it is in the National Football League, and that competition, when he says competition is always the great motivator, which it is, and that's how you get better players, is that you you get better players, and then all of a sudden you create competition, then it drives everybody to new heights. I mean, that's the perfect world that you'd want to live in. You know, when you draft a left tackle in the second round, well, it probably makes your starter play a little bit better. And I think that's happened a little bit with Cam Robinson. There's nothing wrong with that. Competition always makes everybody better. And then what he said there at the end is that, look, if you need to make change, then we'll make change. But that's how it works. And that you can't continue to do the things that you do and expect some better results. And a lot of people may ask, well, does that include the quarterback? I think it would include the quarterback. If they felt that it was best for his development or best for this offense, would they create competition? Sure. But here's the reality. Trevor Lawrence is the better option. We saw the quarterbacks battle it out in training camp. C.J. Beathard didn't look great. The one small window that we saw where Trevor got hurt, he looked pretty good. But you can't evaluate it and sit there and go in that little small little snippet, go, oh, wow, he played better when he was in there. Let's put him in there instead of Trevor. No. Mm-mm. No, the evaluation encompasses a lot more than just that small little window that we got a chance to see in the regular season.
Let's hear a little more from Urban Meyer. The Jaguars have lost Jamal Agnew. He is now on injured reserve with a hip issue, and Urban Meyer Monday on Agnew's status.
Positive news. We're expecting full recovery. It is a hip injury. We'll know more as time wears on a little bit, but obviously we all love that guy. I personally, you know, just, I mean, he's everything you want as a competitor, as a person, and he's got legit speed. So that's a tough blow, but, you know, we just got to keep going and figure it out.
The other players that were dinged up had some positive, you know, results at least as well, which is good news moving ahead. Well, the Jaguars offense did not target Dan Arnold in the game. The tight end was the leading target, leading receiver, leading receiving yardage player for the Jaguars offense since his arrival in Jacksonville, and Urban Meyer discussing why they couldn't get the ball to him.
You know, it's hard to say throw it to him. We had ran a couple option routes to him, and they bracketed him. And that's the ball went somewhere else. So it's hard to, you know, that's why I always like to hand the ball to your best players at times, because you know, when you hand the ball to LaVisca, you can't take that away. You're going to hand the ball to him. They can take him away in the throw game, and that's what they did a little bit. I give them credit. They bracketed him a few times, and they realized the same thing. He's one of our best targets, and we weren't able to defeat that. So, no, we're aware of it, and the conversation is more about this coming week.
So that's the Dan Arnold conversation. We'll get to all this coming up. That kind of obviously the offense struggled in the last little bit of time, but Dan Arnold was really one of the bright lights on the offensive side for the Jags, if you know, relative to what was going on. James Robinson has been a bright spot for the Jaguars offense throughout his run so far in Jacksonville, of course, but he hasn't the last few weeks at least been 100%. Urban Meyer yesterday on James Robinson's status.
You know, I'm going to talk to him this week. We all love the guy, and he's tough as nails, and he doesn't say much, you know. So I just don't feel the same open field running that he showed, or, you know, when he was healthy. So we're going to, you know, we just want to do right by him and do right by us. So that's, you know, but he, you know, there's no one tougher than that guy.
So we'll see. There's a lot to unpack there with the running back and the tight end not being able to get open, and Jamal Agnew's not available. That's a lot of offensive issues right now.
Yeah, and you know, as the season progresses, typically you find more answers to the questions that you've had. And I think this, especially this last four-game stretch, you've had more questions pop up than answers to the previous questions that existed. So that's a challenge, and it's always a challenge when you lose personnel. Make no mistake about it, and you overcome a lot of those at times because you have a quarterback with great experience and he can help make up for some of the loss of the weapons that you may have. But you've had already a loss at the beginning of the season of weapons. And then now you've got a young quarterback who's struggling, and then he's losing more weapons. So it's kind of this little bit of a vicious cycle. And how do you get out of it? Well, you'd love to be able to hand the ball off to your best player, as Urban talked about a minute ago, and make sure that he gets the football. But James Robinson is not 100%. We've seen that. And I think everybody can see that. He's just not quite 100%. And I'll say this again. I said it earlier. Him at less than 100% is still better than Carlos Hyde, mm-hmm. your backup. I think that's very apparent. mean, at least my eyes tell me that. So I still want to – I know that Urban talked about doing what's best for James Robinson and what's best for the team. What's best for the team – look, if James Robinson is at risk of getting hurt further, then you need to take him out because you need to make sure that you do right by him. But if he's not at risk of getting hurt worse, he's still your best option at running back. He's better than LaVisca. He's better than Carlos Hyde. He's better than Divine Ozigbo. He's better than Ogunbowale. That's facts. Facts. You can't change that. So that's, I think, a little bit of a quandary that this offense is in, is that you would like to go back, and I said this earlier as well, you would love to go back to what your core is. Your core is the running game and the strength of your offensive line, even though you're without Linder. Look, you still got Chatley in there. He's playing. He's a good football player. But you'd love to go back to what that was, the anticipated strength of your football team, and rely on that a little bit. But in that game against the 49ers, they shut it down. I mean, the 49ers shut it down. There was very little to no running room for James Robinson in that game. He had 12 carries for 29 yards, was not effective. And I don't think it was any – that's not any kind of indictment on James Robinson. I just think the 49ers just said, hey, look, we're going to stack the line. Mm-hmm. We know that 25's your guy. Good luck on the outside. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll cover those guys best shot. One-on-one.
Give it your best shot.
That's right.
Couldn't beat him.
We'll come back in a moment. More from Urban Meyer ahead from Monday. We'll also get into the defensive play this past week and start looking ahead to the Atlanta Falcons in Week 12. It's the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
Well, this is a tough go right now, and I don't care about me. I care about the people that do all the work around here, these players, especially when I see a guy like Roy Robertson, arguably had his best game at 2 sacks, 1 taken away because of promotion. You know, he's I can't wait to see him tomorrow. I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to go visit with the players, but you know, it's taken away from some, you know, Tyson Campbell making some great plays on the ball now. You can see and doggone it, make your plays on offense and let's keep this thing rolling. Because we had 3 drives on offense in the first half, 3 and out, a fumble, and then a nice drive that was kind of stopped with a penalty. We kick a field goal and okay, let's go. And then we had a 3 and out again. But then you see in the second half, had some, you know, had 2 good drives. One was stopped because of 2 sacks and a holding penalty, and Cam went down, and then the next one we went right down the field. So got a game this week against the Falcons. That's our focus, and improving and make sure we have the lineup correct.
That is Urban Meyer yesterday in his press conference. Welcome back to the Urban Meyer Show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, if you've just joined us, we recorded Urban Meyer yesterday for this show today. With the Thanksgiving holiday, there was changes in schedule, but we've lost the recording, so our apologies. We couldn't get with Urban today for the show. Coming up in a little bit, we will hear from Urban in today's press conference. With thanks to Andrew Gibson of 1010XL, we'll have some audio coming up the rest of the show from Urban.
The one of the fun exchanges that we in a conversation that we had with Urban yesterday. Look, you know, we talked ball for a couple segments, and then we got on the topic of Thanksgiving there in the last segment, and JP, there was. This is rivalry week, I guess you could say, in college football.
Absolutely it is.
Because you've got the Commonwealth
Clash.
Clash, is that what it's called? Commonwealth Clash?
You played it.
Yeah, but we didn't
know.
It wasn't called that when I was there.
Virginia Tech.
Yes.
That's probably not the premier rivalry game
I know.
This weekend,
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that it's rivalry week. And then so this week, is it Florida State?
It also
okay,
is.
Okay, that's a big game. Always has been. Well, it is from the standpoint of that it's a rivalry.
Okay. Sure.
And then you brought up the game Ohio State. And then you asked him, and then he brought up something like, what did he say exactly?
It's rivalry week. It's Ohio State is playing the team up north.
And I didn't understand this. Yes. I did not have a clue. And I was going, what do you mean by the team up north?
And I tried to bait him into it. Hey, what team would that be? Or he said the team up north. and that's it.
Right.
Because they don't
and
use
I had
the word.
I had no idea what you're talking about.
Ohio State people don't use the word Michigan this week or most weeks, and they mark out all the M's on signs around campus in Columbus.
Why?
Because it's Michigan, and they don't like the letter M. That's why.
But it was funny because he didn't say
I don't even think that Michigan. Matters because they've won like 14 of the last 15 against Michigan.
And,
whatever.
And then we got on the conversation of Thanksgiving, and he said, look, you know, got a lot to be thankful for. And then I had to quiz him. I had to quiz him, right? I said, okay, Thanksgiving. Okay, fried turkey, roasted turkey, ham, what is it? He said, definitely not fried, roasted turkey. And mashed potatoes, cream spinach, and mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how about some gravy? He said, yeah, a little bit of gravy. Not a whole lot, just a little bit of gravy. So I told him, I said, look, you spend a week with me, I'll have him weighing 300 pounds in no time.
That's a true statement. That's a true statement.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah. JP, if you hung out with me all the time, I'd have you to four bills.
wow. That's I don't really have any doubt in that at all either, I'll be honest with you.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's where they are. So defense, right? They were on the field 20 plays, you know, 13 minutes. Okay, that's one. They held them to a field goal. Mm-hmm. Give them credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get any help from the offense.
And let me just say again, if the 49ers had had some awareness, it would not have been a field goal. It would have been a touchdown because they could have caught the Jaguars in an offside situation as they were running the 11th man on the field on the field goal block.
Right. All that. So, next drive, 7 plays, 80 yards, touchdown. Debo Samuel runs for 25 in the score. 10-0.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Debo Samuel.
Yeah, good player.
I mean, he's a really good player.
He's second leading receiver in the league, and they're lining him up in the backfield and handing him the football all day.
And it looks natural.
I know.
I mean, that's the thing that's impressive is that when he carries the ball, he is a natural, gifted runner. And top 5 player in the league going into that game and as far as yards after catch. So you know that the guy's got skills once he gets the ball in his hands. And then we watched him on Monday night and lined up in the backfield. And look, I've never seen – Debo Samuel line up as a running back. That was the first exposure that I ever had to it. And I was watching the game going and watching the film also. I'm like,
wait a minute.
What?
Who's this guy?
I mean, this guy looks. And also when you looked at him, you go, man, he's not built like a wide receiver. I mean, he's got the junk in the trunk and thick, and he's, you know, he's got that kind of that body type, but he looks kind of like a running back a little bit. And he's a good football player nonetheless. And if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I absolutely try to find all kinds of creative ways to get him the ball because he's an elite player.
Jaguars defense, though, I think the general point is that they were on the field a lot. They had some third down penalty mistakes. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was an offside.
An ejection.
Injuries. The injury stuff happened, you know. But on the opening drive of the game.
By the way, just real quick, let me just comment on that ejection. If Rayshon Jenkins, okay, a couple taunting. How many penalties does he have this year, like, when it comes to that?
He total, on the season as a whole, he has 6 whole penalties. There are 2 taunting calls, uh-huh. and unnecessary roughness was uh-huh. back in week 1, and uh-huh. then this ejection. So 4 of his 6
okay.
are kind of extracurricular related.
Okay, four extracurricular deals. And in my opinion, conversation should go, okay, Rayshon, love you. Love the way you give us everything you got. Appreciate the leadership ability that you have. And love the edge, because edge is a good thing. But you can't go over that edge, and you did again. If you do it again, then the C's coming off. Would that not be fair?
I mean, yeah, all right. I mean, is that what you want representing the
Leonard
team?
Leonard Fournette leaves the bench
to
go insert himself into a fight in Buffalo.
Buffalo, correct.
He should have lost the C because he wasn't even on the field. It wasn't even an emotional moment. He should have lost his C off of his chest for that. And I think in this instance, you have a conversation with the player and say, look, you know, we appreciate your leadership, but here's the deal. You hurt the team. And it's happened before, so here's the thing. If it happens again, the C's got to go. That's fair.
Yeah, right.
There's got to be accountability. Anyway, just wanted to make a comment on that.
So there's that. So that's our defensive conversation. We've got plenty of show ahead. We'll come back. We'll hear from Urban Meyer from today. He had a press conference right before we went on air locally here in Jacksonville today. And we'll get some of the highlights of that.
Awesome.
Coming up, it's the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Yeah, I felt like, once again, we beginning of the season was awful. But then against the Cardinals, you started seeing some good stuff. And then you started seeing a nice trajectory. You know, we ran the ball. We're up 19-10 on then we made a couple of mistakes against the Cardinals. And then, I just felt good about the trajectory. And that changed about a month ago.
That's Urban Meyer today in his press conference. And welcome back to the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Usually we have the head coach in the first half hour. And if you've just joined us, well, we didn't this time because we recorded Urban yesterday. We lost the recording. Technical issues here in the building. We apologize for that. We'll hear throughout the next half hour from Urban earlier today as we get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday coming up and the final preparations tomorrow and then Friday, Saturday walkthrough for the Atlanta Falcons in week number 12 here at TIAA Bank Field. And that is the thing, hearing Urban say that. Well, the offense was trending up, it felt like, earlier in the season. They had, second-half lead on the Cardinals and a couple teams and couldn't finish the job in those games. And now it's gone the exact other way. They can't even get close to having a lead or barely are getting in the end zone.
Well, and the crazy thing is that this downward trend, the defense has kind of bounced back. And so you would think it would be easier to maintain the trend because of the defensive improvement, but the offense has just really gone in a southward direction very quickly, and it's got to change. And I think part of the reason why they were headed in the right trajectory is that you go back can you pull up the rushing numbers from the games that he's referring to, which if you go back and you look at the games that he's talking about, which you're talking about Arizona, Cincinnati, Tennessee, and Miami, that's the four-game stretch.
Yes.
I want to look at, and I think the conversation needs to be about what were the rushing numbers in those games.
All right. I'll tell you exactly right now, starting with Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
159 yards rushing.
Okay.
Next week at Cincinnati, 139 yards rushing.
All right.
Tennessee game, 198 yards rushing.
Oh, okay.
And then you go back in the 80s a couple weeks, 79.
Where were they at for Miami?
Miami, they were 84 yards rushing.
Okay, not a lot, but Trevor was good. Okay.
Yes, he was.
Trevor's numbers in those four games. You got Trevor's numbers in those four games?
Give me just a moment.
Because, look, a lot of times when you have – a real strong running game, it makes it a hell of a lot easier on the quarterback.
You ready for them?
Yeah.
Arizona, he had a 68.1 rating.
Okay, it's not great.
22 at 34, two picks, not good.
Rough game.
At picks. Cincinnati, 96.5.
Had solid, pretty solid game.
Didn't
yep.
throw a touchdown pass. And he ran for one.
And I was going to bring up, that's the game that they kind of went back to some of the RPO stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't great prior to that game. The Arizona game was a little bit of a struggle for Trevor. He was throwing a lot of interceptions, and then all of a sudden they go to Cincinnati, and then they start blending some of these college-type plays back in, and he looks like he was comfortable. And, look, you're exposing him when you do those kind of things. The question I think will be this week is, do you go back and do some of the things that you did in the Cincinnati game to get a comfort level back? And I don't know the answer to that, but it's going to be something that's interesting to watch. Okay, after Cincinnati, go to Tennessee.
Tennessee, 92.1 rating.
Pretty good.
Good day.
Pretty good.
Miami game, 93.4.
Trending upward, right? Great Everything day. You're feeling good about, okay? Yeah, you got a first overall pick, and you like it.
And then the next 3 weeks are below 70.
Below 60% ratings.
68 rating, 69 rating, and then below 60.
Below 60% completion percentage, and every game was below a 70 rating for him over the next three games.
Not good.
Yeah, not what you want. And then the rating, I think, was a little bit over that this past game. But you just weren't able to string enough plays together as an offense to really say, okay, Trevor had a really good game. And I know that Urban said he had a good game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't a bad game, I think would be a better way to put it.
We'll come back in a moment. More from Urban Meyer today. How do you keep Trevor Lawrence confident and ready? And then a discussion about Darrell Bevell from today's press conference as well, the Jaguars offensive coordinator. This is the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars radio network.
Well, one of the reasons I hired Bev and also Brian Schottenheimer, they did it with Russell Wilson. You know, and they weren't, you know, resistive because we met for a long time. And I watched the film and I saw what they did with Russell as far as, you know, break contain, RPO, you know, the zone read type stuff. They did that with Russell. So, you know, it's something, there's a fine line too about the, you know, preparing a quarterback for a long career and then also keeping him out of harm's way. And those are conversations we have daily.
That is Urban Meyer today in his press conference. And welcome back to the Urban Meyer Show. JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. The Jaguars coming off the San Francisco loss, heading into a Week 12 matchup this Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of conversation this week, obviously, about the Jags' offense. They've scored 43 points in 4 weeks. Not in each of the 4 weeks, in 4 weeks total.
How many meaningful points?
What, three last week, but they were down three touchdowns or three scores when that happened. That might not even count. I wouldn't even count that.
No, I wouldn't count seven.
No. No, certainly not the touchdown because it was garbage time.
Right.
But the field goal was 17-0.
Yeah, but I mean, just overall, I mean, it would be interesting to go back and say, okay, when, you know, like if the game is tight, you know, how many points, like in Seattle? How many points did you score in Seattle that were meaningful?
None.
Right. And they avoided the shutout at the end of the game?
Yeah, right.
I mean, but do you really consider that, you know, a.
No, I don't.
A great score. No, I mean, no. That's what I think, you know, that this team is struggling. I mean, obviously, when you look at the numbers, but then if you try to break it down a little bit further and you look at, okay, well, how many meaningful points have they scored in the last four games, it's a little bit even more concerning than just saying, well, it's 43 points in four games. I mean, how many meaningful points? Well, not a whole lot. Got to be better. Got to be better. And that's why Urban was just talking about, you know, the reason he hired Bevell and Shoddy, which is Brian Schottenheimer, who was a quarterback's coach, passing game coordinator. And you talk to those guys, and they were – and the reason he talked about why he hired them was because that they worked some of that stuff with Russell Wilson, and it was the read option stuff, and that's what Trevor ran when he was at Clemson. And what we were talking about before the break was that the Cincinnati game was the game that you kind of saw a little bit more of that type of flavor with the offense. But when you do more of that type of flavor, you also expose the quarterback to more hits and more potential injury.
No doubt.
And that's where Urban's talking about you're trying to achieve a balance because you want to end up making sure that the quarterback stays healthy and long-term. Are you going to have your quarterback running read option stuff when he's in year 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15, whatever? And that's the hope, I mean, that he's going to be your quarterback for, you know, decade and a half, 2 decades. And you don't want to get him crushed
right
in his first year because, well, we're struggling and we got to make sure that we save our own face and do better with the offense because we're not doing very well. Let's go ahead and put our quarterback at risk. No.
Let's hear a short comment today of Urban discussing the possibility of more RPO in the offense.
Yeah, we can. And those conversations have been had. You know, do what he does well. Those are conversations we're having.
No, still having them. That's all you really had to say about it today. Another conversation about how do you keep Trevor's confidence now if things aren't going well.
I remind him they're professionals. We're all professionals. You got a job to do, go out and do it. And we're going to try to build this thing to be a, you know, the vision hasn't changed here, that what we expect this place to be, and go out and beat the Falcons. That's what we're doing.
And finally, some confidence in the parts they do have on offense.
And we still have good players. You'll never hear me say that. The obvious that the three fast guys, you know, Etienne, Shark, and now Ags, those guys are all legitimate fast. But we have all we need. We just have to be creative in the game planning and make some plays.
That's Urban Meyer today from his press conference. And, hey, there you have it. They're going to roll with what they have and try to figure it out a different way.
Well, that's all you do.
That's all you can do, right, at this point.
Yeah, and you know, and another thing, too, is that, okay, let's say last 2 weeks you've seen a lot of man coverage. Will the Falcons do something similar with Dean Pees? You obviously need to have a little bit of history, which I'm sure there's a book on Dean Pees. And to give you an example, if Dean Pees is a guy that runs a lot of man coverage, okay, well, you might want to have some routes to where you have man beaters, you know, where you got rubs and washes and guys crossing on the field to where they're you know, the traffic is disrupting the coverage. And you get open receiver. So there's a lot of different things that you can do from a play caller standpoint that will be fit to whether you're seeing man or whether you're seeing zone. And I think that's going to be something that as an offensive coordinator, you want to make sure that you're on point. And when I say on point, that you have the calls that give you the best chance of success for that particular defense.
We'll come back a little more from Urban ahead today as the Jaguars prep for the Atlanta Falcons. This is the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
I think we're going to be okay there. You know, it's day-to-day. He's got an AC sprain. That's nothing major. And then Shaq's day-to-day. Miles is good. Cam Robinson's is good. Dakota Allen, good news on him. I think we got him back for this one, which we need him. This returner we're facing.
That's Urban Meyer earlier today. The first person he was talking about was Tyson Campbell, who came down awkwardly on the shoulder. So that's good news.
The last guy that he was talking about coming back for the return game.
Dakota Allen.
Because
they're talking about covering the return game, kind of thing. That's another question. Who are they going to have returning kicks and punts now?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. Clay Brooks could handle it. He's done some of that before. In fact, Clay Brooks was drafted last year mainly as a returner. I mean, having him play corner was really an afterthought. He was drafted for his return ability. So, yeah, I mean, I would think that he would go into that role. The Tyson Campbell AC sprain can be incredibly painful. And I don't know how they handle it these days, but back in the day, I mean, it wasn't like a big deal. You'd shoot it up. You know, you insert a needle into that AC space and do a painkilling injection, and then you'd rock and roll. You know, I mean, that's just how it used to be. Now things are a little bit different now. I don't know if they even allow that type of procedure to happen, but the one thing about Tyson, I like the way he's been playing. I think he's gotten dramatically better. Gosh, he had a pretty rough go of it there against Cincinnati. Seattle was kind of a rough go of it too, and I thought he's gotten better. So it was good to see him improve, and I want to see him continue to improve. I like the way he plays. He plays hard, and he finishes, and he's got great length. And I think he's adjusted the way that he plays the ball now, which is significant, and it's made him more effective. When I say he's changed the way that he plays the ball, when a lot of defensive backs, when they cover a wide receiver, if the ball, you know, quarterback's back behind me here this way.
That would be to your left.
Okay, and I'm running down the field as a corner. My eyes are not on the quarterback. You're running with the wide receiver. Defensive backs, a lot of them, what they do is at the last second when they realize that the ball is coming, they turn around to play the ball. That's where Tyson's gotten into trouble. And I've noticed a change in what he has done. Instead of turning around to find the ball, he's kept his attention on the wide receiver and then been a reaction where he tries to bust the ball up out of the receiver's hands.
When he sees the receiver looking at it and putting his hands up, maybe just hit the hands or whatever. Right?
But he's not trying to get his head back to the ball. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because where he's gotten in trouble is trying to get the head back and then make a play on the ball, and then it's not happening.
Now lose the receiver.
You're not going to get a lot of interceptions that way, but you're going to have a whole lot more incompletions with him playing it that fashion instead of the old way that he played it. So I like the way he's made that adjustment. And now hopefully he can learn to get his head back around the ball, and then maybe also some zone situations where he's got his eyes back to the quarterback where – he then can utilize his ball skills that he does have if he can find the ball. So maybe he can get some interceptions that way. But in man coverage, I like the way he's made the adjustment.
We'll take a timeout and get some final thoughts from Urban Meyer today in his press conference. This is the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
I feel our staff's got to do a good job, a little bit of creativity, which I feel we haven't done. And you got to get the ball in the hands of the guys that score. But we have to do that.
That's Urban Meyer today. Welcome back to the Urban Meyer Show. Coach Meyer had a press conference today. They moved the schedule around. Thanksgiving coming up. So the players left Thursday off and staff. So they're practicing today and tomorrow and then Friday to get ready for the Atlanta Falcons in Week 12. The creativity of the offensive game plan, the comment there. And Urban also today talking about the guys are pulling off from everywhere to come play.
Yeah, I've always heard the stories, and we're in it now. You know, we're in it with injuries or, you know, pulling guys off the street or, you know, sitting in Trent's office every morning, and we watch film. Where's this guy? He's on the street. I go, what does that mean? He's on the street. He's not physically on the street, but he's actually on a plane here right now. Okay, good.
There you go. A little learning curve for Urban, and that's the way it is. I mean, it's a season of attrition, and guys get hurt in the league all the time. You got to go have a plan in place to bring somebody else in to fill their spot.
Little different than having back-to-back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes and you just don't pull another jar off the shelf.
Hey, freshman, you want some time to come play?
Yeah.
You're a five-star. Come on in.
I mean, if you look at the running backs that they had at Ohio State through the years of Urban Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's Carlos Hyde. It's Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, it's just you know, the defensive ends. From one Bosa to the next Bosa to Chase Young. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yep. Wide receivers are the same way.
It's the way it works.
I mean, quarterbacks, I mean, they have had it all.
That's what makes, I think, the NFL, one of the greatest challenges that there is. I mean, it's the greatest challenge in football because you can't go out and just recruit a football team that is superior to the ones you're going to be playing next year. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, it's a league that is built – for everybody to have an opportunity at improving. And unfortunately, it doesn't always work for everybody. You know, I mean, this team has been struggling for quite some time. I mean, you take 2017 out of it, it's been a struggle for this football team. And the way the league is built, you know, you get a higher draft pick and you have the tools to get better, and it's a challenge. But, I mean, it's hard because you have to manage – the football team in a way that's very demanding, and it's a tough way to do it, and that's the way it is in the National Football League. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. And I think that's why when you look at a guy like Bill Belichick, who's been able to do it with Tom Brady and then now without Tom Brady this year, and year in and year out, the consistency that he's been able to put to that organization. It's amazing. It is truly amazing. They don't pay him enough money, I can tell you that.
Nobody knows what he's getting paid.
Nobody does.
No, but
what do you think he makes?
I have
if you
no,
had to guess. If you were the owner of an NFL team.
Robert Kraft probably just gave him the checkbook and said, here, write what you'd like.
What would you pay him? If you owned an NFL team, what would you pay him?
A share of ownership, maybe? Is that allowed? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, maybe. Why not?
I mean, is he not worth $20
million? Oh,
I mean, if you're paying players, if your franchise quarterback is getting paid, you know, a lot of franchise quarterbacks are making up to $40 million, wouldn't Bill Belichick be worth $20 million?
Yeah, in theory.
At least?
Yeah, in theory.
I mean, it's just interesting. I mean, that's, you know, because he's been a great coach for a long period of time.
Jaguars get the Falcons this Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff time at TIAA Bank Field. The Falcons at 4-6, the Jaguars at 2-8. Hope to see you here. Logs, happy Thanksgiving.
And to you, JP.
Yeah, Joe Fortunato, Brent Reber, our entire crew, thank you for watching online and listening as the Jaguars get ready for week number 12. This has been the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.